What's up, everybody? This is Eric LeGrand, owner of LeGrand Coffee House, and you're now listening to the Chop Sports Podcast Network.
Mixtape, baby! NYK, let's go! We're number one! Mixtape, baby! Yeah! We're the best! Yeah!
And with that, we start our journey on a daily podcast show with the sweet sounds of Ray Ray, the Brooklyn Nets' finest fan, Ray Ray. That was what I woke up to today, so that was interesting. Welcome, everybody, to the Chop Sports Podcast. First episode on the regular, on a daily schedule, on a Monday morning, May the 24th. I can't believe it's almost June already, but your host here, Sturge Gooch, and of course, we have production Pete in the house as well, who is coming off a fantastic weekend, I'm assuming. You went to a great Yankee game on Saturday.
Sir, Saturday.
Yeah, man. So, Gooch, how we doing, man? First show on the regular on a Monday morning. How do we feel?
Yeah, I feel good. I got a little sun over the weekend, celebrated with the family, a bunch of birthdays happening in the Gucci household. But Dave, you said that you woke up to that. Are you sure you're awake, dude?
I'm not awake. I am not.
That was a somber open.
I am not well right now. I tell you right now. Okay. A long time ago, I was able to pound back beers like it was my job, wake up the next morning and just go, go, go. The issue is now I'm older, you know, it takes a couple days now for me to fully recover. And now I'm just coming off of, you know, just abysmal, heartbreaking loss, you know. But I will say this, you know, thank you for those who came out to Big Shots last night to support Chop Sports and also watch the Knicks. It definitely was a good feeling to have people close to each other screaming and yelling and cheering. It's been a while, you know, so that was the plus of the event. The downside of the event is the Knicks loss, but we'll get into that. Again, new daily show. We're excited about that. We figure it's good for everybody to keep relevance and keep, you know, talking about the sports that are happening. Today we're going to cover a couple things. Obviously the Knicks playoff game, the Nets playoff game, the NBA playoffs as a whole. We'll talk a little Yankees, and then we'll plug away at all of our shows. But Gooch, I got a question for you. Something bothered me all weekend. And we'll get into this first because you're a fan just like I am, if not even like harder. I think me and you are like very similar. So a photo surfaced on the old Twitter, right? And I come across it, and it is a fan in Dallas who took a picture with Julio Jones, who was working out in Dallas. Julio Jones is standing there in public in a Dallas Cowboys hoodie. Would that, A, what the hell, B, would that bother you if it was Davante Adams in a Dallas Cowboys hoodie?
Obviously, yes, it would bother me if it was Davante Adams in a Dallas Cowboys hoodie, but it would bother me a lot more if I was Julio and I knew for a fact that come June 1st, I was getting traded. And I wouldn't care about what hoodie I was wearing because I know I'm gone. Now, maybe for the fan base, it's kind of shitty, but I think Julio is trying to send a message. It's like, I'm not the type of person to talk publicly about my team or bad about the front office, but You gotta imagine that Julio is a little offended with all the trade talks, and it's not the trade talks, like he's getting traded. So
you think it's a foregone conclusion?
It's a 100% happening. They can't afford to pay all those players on offense, specifically to catch the ball. Their defense is really bad. It's time. You know, I'm pretty sure he's
32.
On the wrong side of 30.
32 years old.
AJ Green's the same age. Like, how many years does Julio have left? He does play through injuries, but the fact is, at 32, he has had some injuries. It's starting to pile up. It's just, I can't see them keeping him because what they have to pay him and the ability to get a big haul on Julio, you got to take it at this point.
Are you going to get a big haul for Julio Jones? What is the fair Madden trade that would be approved?
I would say nothing short of a first round pick.
You think Julio Jones is worth a first?
Absolutely. Hopkins was a second. Hopkins should have been worth three firsts. You know, like,
right. Yeah, I guess. Well, it remains to be seen. But yeah, it just rubbed me the wrong way. It circled around Cowboys media.
It doesn't matter what I think what he's worth. There is a dumb GM out there that thinks he's worth plenty more than what I think. I guarantee.
Very true. So, very true.
He's worth what they get for him.
Yeah, all right. Good call. Like I said, something that bothered me. Had to get it off my chest. But we'll get into the prominent weekend that was. Everything is flowing right now. NBA playoffs, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, the Yankees, the Mets, everything is happening right now. Sports are back. It's great. What's not great is Julius Randle going 6-for-23 from the floor last night. He picked a shitty time to start sucking. You know what I mean? Like, this team was built around this guy. You know, he kind of led the team in pretty much every category, you know, you can lead a team. And then you bring in Derrick Rose, who's obviously the journeyman, but playing well enough for the Knicks to play well throughout the course of the year. But last night, Trae Young, man, I mean, look, he's got a very punchable face. You know,
he looks like I saw the meme yesterday. It looks like he was a lollipop that was dropped on the carpet.
Oh my and then God, picked up.
So it's just like stuck fuzz on a lollipop head.
That's fantastic.
Trae Young's hairdo, by the way.
Trae Young drops 32 on the Knicks, and he silences the Garden. Now, I watched the game obviously through. You know, we're at Big Shots having a good time watching the game. But yeah, the Knicks picked the wrong time to just come out flat, missing shots left and right. And on top of that, opposing that, the Hawks weren't missing. They were not missing anything, and it was a little insane. That kind of game was played immediately in the Garden. Let me tell you something. 15,000 people sounded like a sold out crowd, and it was great. And that's the good part of the game. The bad part of the game is the result. Now, based off of what you saw last night, the Knicks can run with this team, right? I mean, it's not like
they're the better defensive team. A team like Atlanta's going to have to hit their shots, and it was still a close game. But what I'm worried about on the Knicks side of things is they really don't have a guy to create a shot.
Right.
You know, Derrick Rose is probably their best guy to create his own shot. Maybe I would say Barrett.
Yeah.
But that's even –
what about my boy Burks dropping 27 last night?
Well, Burks is my guy from fantasy. I picked him up on the waiver wire. But the thing is, Julius Randle isn't the type of guy that you could run an offense through him, but in the postseason, you're going to need a wing. You're going to need a guard to be able to control the perimeter. And – when defense is heightened, I think that there is some offensive liabilities in Randle's game that might get exposed a little bit come playoff time, which is what we might have saw yesterday. Game two is important. I mean, that's an understatement. They can't afford to drop two at home. But we'll see, man.
Why is there so many days in between games? Why is this, bro? They play Sunday and then they don't play till Wednesday? Do you really need 2 days off on a basketball game?
Like, I would imagine that there's going to be times where there's only one day off. So, yeah,
I guess when you lose, you want to get right back out there and pick it up. So I guess that long wait, because technically you're waiting 3 days.
It's
you're waiting all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday.
Money, bro. They want to drag this out as long as possible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not going to get a finals champion until probably middle of July. So yeah, the Knicks drop game one. Segue into the other team from New York that picked up game one, Pistol Pete's boys. The Brooklyn Nets win their first game.
They look like shit doing it, I might add.
They gave me a listen. They win the game by 11, but in the beginning, you know, I'm pretty sure the Celtics had the lead after the first, second, and third.
I don't know about the third.
Maybe not the third, but at least the first and the second. And I was like optimistic that they can run with this team, but then it's like all of a sudden it's on, you know, and the Nets turn it on. And look, you got Durant dropping 32, Irving dropping 29, Harden dropping 21. Bro, 82 points of their total score is scored by the big three. This is what we were talking about. They've played 9 games now total, including this one, together. And it's just, you're not going to have an answer for that. You don't. There's not one NBA team that's going to have an answer for that. And that's why after watching just one game, I don't foresee them losing any games. It's like they turned it on.
There is plenty in the East that the Nets don't have an answer for as well.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you right now. I don't know. It's just they played great.
Whether they win the East or not, fine. They're not just steamrolling the East. There's no way.
But it's almost as if they turned it on when they felt like it. You know, like the Celtics were hanging around and then the Nets were like, all right, we're good. Here we go.
The Celtics are depleted. They're not really a great basketball team. All year they struggled even when they were at full strength, and they're not at full strength right now. So I guess you could argue the fact that the Nets aren't at full strength, but I feel like they're at the fullest strength, if that's even a phrase.
They're going to get you can't get much fuller.
They're not getting much better. I want to make a comment about the pregame outfits that I watched some of these players on the Nets wear.
What
the fuck was going on with this?
I didn't see it.
Everyone's like, the Nets got the most drip. The only one that doesn't have drip is Joe Harris. And Joe Harris had on a Nike sweatsuit. I'm like, yeah, Joe Harris looks like he's about to go play a basketball game. Maybe the rest of the Nets should get on the same page as Joe Harris. And then they went on to win. So I really, I guess it doesn't matter what they're dressing.
But like. I didn't even see that. I have to, bro, I have to go check it out. Yeah. Well, I will give credit where credit's due. And I contributed this on to the Chop Sports Network's Instagram. Kevin Durant. What a scary fall, man.
Oh, man.
Horizontal.
It's got Pete. It's got
horizontal,
LeBron,
bro.
Giving LeBron a bad look.
Very bad.
You got Gumby bending in half on the hardwood.
There's a Peter Griffin meme out there where he's just like bent in three, and that Durant pops right back up, runs down the court, drops 32.
He did the Tom Segura. Yeah. Where he just fell and broke every bone in his body.
But he gets right back up. And yeah, dude, that you gave LeBron a run for the money, bro, because I think people have been posting this in the Chop Sports group on Facebook. It's getting old fast. The LeBron injury stuff is getting old fast. Like, we can't, we talked about it on last week's show, but him getting poked in the eye.
The good thing about the NFL is that they wear face masks and helmets, so he can't get poked in the eye, so he's fine.
Oh, so when he goes to the NFL in the second part of his life, yeah, that makes sense. But look, speaking of LeBron, the Lakers drop game one, and look, you said it, game twos are big. You don't want to fall down 2-0. Does that game, being the way it played out, you know, they lost by 9. It wasn't a buzzer beater, you know what I mean? Like, no daggers at the end. Like, this one seems like the Suns, who are a good team, can the Suns take down the Lakers?
Can they? They can, because they are a good team. Will they? They won't. This is very reminiscent. I mean, albeit the Lakers are now coming in as the... I guess you could say they're still favored because they're favored to win the whole thing in the West, but they're at the 7th seed as opposed to being the 2 that they were last year, I believe, or the 1 that they were last year. And they lost game 1 last year, and I think that they were handled pretty easily by Portland, and then they didn't think they lost 2 more games the whole playoffs. So, you know, it's not good to lose the first game, but they are on the road. All they got to do is win tomorrow or whenever the next game is, and they stole home court. So it's still, right. You know, when you're the road team, dropping the game one is not so crazy because you're expected to lose.
It's just crazy that, like, the Suns had such a great year, right? And you get to the second seed, and you're like, man, we're flying high, and all of a sudden the Lakers are your first round opponent.
That game got chippy, and the Suns ain't afraid. You could see
I saw somebody saying about – I didn't see the game. I didn't watch the Laker game, but I saw something about Chris Paul – getting a little...
Well, Chris Paul got laid out. He had like a scary fall, and then it was LeBron's shoulder that I guess was dislocated temporarily, and then...
Brian Caruso
stepped up and got in the... You know, it was a little chippy. The benches cleared a little bit. I'm surprised. I wonder if there's the same rule for coaches as there are for players, where if you leave the bench in the NBA, you're automatically suspended for a game, because I'm pretty sure every coach on the Lakers left the bench.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, I got to go look at that because, like I said, I didn't see the game. That was one game I did miss. It was 90 degrees and sunny out there, so I was outside poolside. But we'll see. We'll see. They're supposed to win the West. You drop one game. This might be a favor to the NBA, like saying, like, hey, man, we'll give you 5. We'll give you 5 in the first round.
Before we stop talking about the NBA playoffs, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my boy
Dame Time. Dame Time.
You know he's coming hard in the playoffs. He doesn't have to deal with LeBron in the first round, so maybe he can get out of it and make LeBron's road a little bit easier for his boy.
And the Blazers play tonight, as a matter of fact. And we could say tonight because we talk tomorrow. How cool is that?
That's great. We don't have to deal with that fucking...
That week-long lag. Yeah. So the Blazers do take on game two tonight against the Nuggets. Blazers up 1-0 in that series. Hey guys, this is Sturge from the Chop Sports Podcast, and today I want to address something near and dear to my heart, and that's mental health awareness. More specifically, Joe Pizzamenti with Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. His consulting company can help you in so many ways, including an innovative way to lower your monthly bills. And guess what? If you lower my monthly bills, my mental health state is going through the roof. There's so much to learn about Joe and Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. Visit the website right now, www.attitudeofgratitudeconsulting.com. So, from the hardwood to the diamond, over the weekend, our Chop Sports Network Instagram blew up because we were quick to the punch. Bro, triple play? Yeah. Triple play? I mean, look.
He was safe at first.
Thank you, Production Pete, for putting that boy in his place. But
clapback season.
Full effect. But, I mean, look, the Yankees are flying high right now. Winners of 6 straight. Again, I cannot believe this team started 5-10 and people were writing them off. And it's just, these guys are all pitching. Like, do we have based off of what we saw Kluber's no-hitter. You know, we see now Pistol Pete was actually in attendance on Friday, Saturday for another great game. And shutout. Then you got, shutout by Cole. Do the Yankees have a legitimate 1-2 now? Like, can we establish that as Cole and Kluber? I think it's
established at, at this point that they might have a legitimate 1-2 and 3 because Herman is pitching as well as anybody in the AL besides maybe Kluber and Cole. You know, Herman's, I think the Yankees overall have the best team ERA in all of baseball right now.
Their pitching is, absolutely amazing.
At 5-10, they were arguably the worst team ERA in baseball. And since they were 5-10, I remember I say this almost every time we bring up the Yankees. And I only know this because of, you know, 5-10 is easy to do math off of. They're 23-9 in their 32 games since that day, right?
Yeah.
And, bro, they're a half a game out, and they built all, they gained all this ground. And the Rays are 10-0 in their last 10.
Rays have won 10 straight.
The Red Sox are 7-3 in their last 10. So their division is playing well, and they're still gaining ground. So the Yankees are a problem.
The next 13 games, I heard this morning, the Yankees are coming up on. Other than Detroit.
Let me get the Rays.
Other than Detroit, that is kind of mixed in. We got tonight, I believe it's the, not tonight, tomorrow when we start, I think it's back to the, I know that the Rays are coming up for four and then Boston. So like that's after Detroit. So they got some division games coming up and it, and these are,
I'm not saying make or break.
It is June by the time they play these guys.
We
found
our way against the bottom feeders, the low hanging fruit in the AL. And now it's time. We just fucking swept the best team in the American League.
Well, that's, they're no longer the best team in the American League.
On the heels of the Tony La Russa debacle. They've gone 1-4 since since that whole thing where he, you know, outed his player, broke an unwritten rule, et cetera, et cetera. But the Yankees are on fire right now. And it's time we play these teams in our division. It's about time we test ourselves and, you know, get a little separation in the East. We want to take over first place and let's bury the Red Sox and bury Tampa and then go on.
How good is Aaron Judge playing right now?
He's
308, lead the team in homers.
This is all with Stanton still on the injury list. Hicks is probably out for the year. Frazier hasn't hit a baseball in
Frazier is batting 171 right now, and I think the experiment's over. I don't know if he's a major league player.
Do you know who's playing well right now?
Brett Gardner.
I will pat myself on the back.
He called that in March.
When Gardner signed the $4 million deal, I was like, they didn't just sign him to be a coach. Like, he's playing. He's going to get at-bats. And now he worked his way into the lineup, and it's only May.
I mean, worked his way into the lineup via Hicks getting hurt. But other than that, like, he is
I'll tell you this. If Hicks was playing center field and Stanton was DHing and Judge was in right, who's playing left?
Right now, I'm putting Brett Gardner out
100%.
There, which is nuts to think about.
You could make the case that the Yankees might not have traded Tauchman if they didn't endure all these injuries in the outfield, but they got a great reliever, I think Peralta.
Yeah.
Right? So that worked out. Everything that the Yankees have been doing, there was a big panic in the season. People are talking about firing Aaron Boone, guilty. I kind of was like, Aaron Boone, you got to show some emotion. You know, that was a knee-jerk reaction. People were actually talking about firing Brian Cashman. How fast would Brian, like, name me a general manager in any, he would get hired to be the general manager of any team in any sport.
Right.
You know,
right. I never understood the flack that Cashman gets.
Unbelievable.
I mean, like, every year, look, as fans, every year we go out there and we're like, sign this guy, because there's no salary cap or anything like that. But he makes these moves in silence. And some of these players that he's signed over the years.
Baseball is different.
Yeah,
baseball is different. You got the farm system. There's a lot of layers to this, man. And guys come out of nowhere and turn out good careers. Like, you think a guy's done, right? Because he's a starter, but he's not a good starter. But then in 3 years, he's an all-star in the middle. You know, there's just more than one way to skin a cat.
There's definitely
Cashman's got it figured out as far as
that. He's got it down to a science. There's a method to his madness. And, you know, like you said, we're agreeing that the Yankees are playing their better baseball right now. Now's a good time to kind of turn it up a little bit. We are in June. Coming up relatively in the next week, we'll be in June already. You know who's still not hitting and we're into June is that's Francisco Lindor.
Yeah,
and
I was just going to say the Mets.
You know, people gave me shit when I said fine little player, good little player, whatever the hell I said on that podcast. And my man got paid. And it's one thing if it's April. It's another thing if it's May. But now we're heading into June and you're batting under 200. And the Mets organization right now is in, like, you know, I get they're just riddled by injuries. I get it. But you have to have depth. Like, the Yankees, you know, kept up last year. And how many injuries did they have last year?
The last 2 years.
Really. Right. You fire their damn training staff because of all the injuries. But the Mets are in that situation now where they're losing players. Bro, they put out a lineup the other day. I couldn't tell
you. The only regular player was Lindor.
Lindor, yeah. I couldn't tell you who anybody was. Till Mets do us part could tell you who they are. And I'm sure, you know, my friend Joe DiMeo, who works for SNY, he could tell you who they are because these are all the prospects and these are all the people. But, dude, I looked at that lineup and I'm like, they're in trouble. You can't drop games to Miami and be a contender. You're two games over 500 right now. You're in first place.
The thing about their division is none of the teams are playing well, but a few of those teams are pretty good.
Yeah, the Braves are great. The Nationals are good.
The Phillies are an all right team. So the Mets can't play bad for long because one of those teams are going to catch fire, if not
They're only up a game and a half, and they're 21-19. They're just two games over 500. So
it's a good thing that the National League overall is fucking abysmal. Good for the Mets, right? Imagine the Yankees got to play in that piss poor fucking league.
Well, look at that. Look at that. The dynamic. They're two games over 500. And they're in first place. The Yankees are a half game out of first place, and they're nine games above 500. That just goes to show you that the AL is a dominant league, and that's just, or at least that division, AL East. And, you know, we were talking about, I think we were talking about this not too long ago when the season first started. And I was like, oh, look at this NL East, you know, NL East, calling them like the NFC East in football. I'm like, all these teams stink. Okay, well, nobody's separating themselves. At least you have in the AL East three teams that are starting to become the elite of that division.
How good is Tampa? How do they do this?
But they're the streakiest team in the league. Yeah, they'll win 10 straight, lose 7.
I'm not talking about, you know what their thing about Tampa is? They have the lowest payroll in baseball, but they're consistently at the top of the AL East. They're going against powerhouses in New York and Boston, but they're still there every year. We're
talking about GMs. Give that guy a friggin' raise. You know, he put together. And not only that, last year or the year before, when they got rid of Archer, I'm like, how do you do that? You know, how do you trade away Archer?
Bro,
and they're fine.
Who's the pitcher, the lefty? I can't think of his name. The lefty that they got rid of this year. He's on San Diego now.
Snell.
Yeah.
So, again, how? You got rid of your stud. You got rid of your stud, and now you're in first place. Look, it is just June coming up, you know, so we'll see who can endure the dog days of summer. You know what I mean? Like, we'll see who's kind of cream rises to the top towards the end. You'll see that. But right now, the Yankees, everything about it is clicking. Their bats are clicking. Did COVID save Gleyber Torres this year?
Wow.
My man went off on a COVID list, came back, and he's ripping it.
Who's their hitting coach? Is it Phil Nevin?
Whoever
it was, that maybe he just needed to get COVID and get out of Gleyber's ear, get away from him for a week, and then Gleyber just comes back hitting the ball. Who's talking to Gleyber now? Keep it up.
His interviews are fantastic at the end of the game. Like, they're like, is there a better feeling than doing a walk-off? Yeah, he says. But I know he meant no. You know, it's
like, I think
Meredith Marakovich was like, Gleyber, it's got to be the feeling. You know, all the fans are here. You're excited. You know, is there anything better than walking off in New York? Yeah. I'm just like, no, Gleyber, you say no to that. You say no, there's nothing better. But look, he's hitting. And again, he came off that little
Two walk-off wins in the series. A walk-off walk.
How exciting.
I love that.
How exciting. Oh, Michael Kay is on the call yesterday, and he's like, ball four, and he walks.
It's like, Jesus Christ. It's really demoralizing for a team to lose that way. So it's good to see the White Sox.
It's all on the pitcher. It really is. I didn't see that.
I didn't see the ball leaves your hand, and you're just like, I just lost the game. I didn't see the end of that game. I don't know how the bases got loaded. It could have been an error.
I saw that they had, it was a man on third. That's what I saw on my little game casting up by the pool. But when I got down to the deck, I put the game on, and it's bases loaded with three of balls. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So we can, you know, little base hit here, and, you know, we win the game. Or even sack fly. I think it was only one out.
The last thing you're thinking of is walk.
Last thing I'm thinking about is a walk-off walk. But hey, listen, we'll take it. I'll take that every day. So Yankees are playing good. We're excited about it. Both the local teams tonight, the Yankees are off. They start the series tomorrow, but the Mets got the Rockies tonight to open up that. But Mets got to do something. They can't let these other mediocre teams hang around. They're going to find themselves in third place within a week.
Real quick, I want to mention something about this past weekend with the Mets, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the thing that happened in A-ball, low-class A-ball, with DeGrom coming back on his rehab stint.
Did he? Would he smoke like everybody? Right.
Bro, he faced 9 batters and he struck out 8. Right. He was throwing 102. Like, come on.
They're
bro.
All sitting there like come Henry Rowan Gardner at the plate. Like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Just and you know what? The crazy part of that is too. I think that this team was the Cardinals, something to do with the Cardinals. The Cardinals affiliate in Florida. And on Friday, I think it was, or Thursday, they faced Seth Lugo. And then Saturday, or the next day, it was Syndergaard. And then day, it was DeGrom. It's like, imagine getting that series.
Matt, listen, you want to get good at baseball? This is how you do it. You gotta face the good competition. But can you imagine those guys? Like, they're getting to the ballpark. Like, who's on the bump? Ah, Syndergaard's back. What? And then, look, today's going to stink. We'll get him tomorrow. Who's on the hill tomorrow? DeGrom.
And they were like, they were like, Syndergaard kind of like just trying to find his way. But you could tell, like, overpowering stuff. And they were like thinking the same thing. Like, they were thinking.